Let's try to keep everybody still. Ready? All right, let's open our Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 4 this morning. This is a great chapter here in the Bible. Yes! That's my angels cheering for me back there. Woo! Duke, baby! That's what it sounded like. They're kidding me about saying that. Old Duke looked up the other night, didn't he? Oh, what's his name, that quarterback from that other team? What's his name? Huckabee. Somebody said Huckabee. No, that's wrong sport. Yeah, Tom Brady. The Lord let him lose. That's right. Pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before fall. You get thinking you're hot stuff, you go right down every time. Happens with nations, happens with people, happens with individuals. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. That's what North Carolina Tar Heels have, a haughty spirit, Lord says. Bam. Amen. All right. Let's open the book of Proverbs. Yeah, I played basketball a long time, but I don't understand where spiritual things come in. Sometimes it just don't go in. I don't understand that. How much God has to do with that, I have no clue. Sometimes I think He tits it in. Sometimes I think He don't care. Sometimes I think He looks at all the people, bet on it, and lets the ball fall. See, that guy fall with the ball, has ball on his head, on his helmet, and fell down. The Lord had to be in that. Proverbs chapter 4. Some of you got more upset about that ball game than you did a lost soul walking out last Sunday. Proverbs 4, 23. Look at verse 23. Keep thy heart. All right. Yes, everybody settle down now. Proverbs 4, 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it, that's your heart, are the issues of life. Since this is Valentine's week, I'm going to preach to you about your heart this morning. Your heart is the most important thing there is about you. Your heart, physically, the organ heart keeps you alive, pumping blood through your body. And your heart, in the Bible sense, is the real you. That's your heart. And that's the most important thing. Your head's not the most important thing. Your heart is. You'd be better off your heart right and your head a little messed up than your head to be right and your heart messed up. The most important thing as a Christian is keeping your heart right with God. There ain't nothing more important than that. Because if you can keep your own heart right with God, everything else will fall into place. So I want to preach this morning on the subject, what is that in your heart? You know, every one of us and people all over the world are made by the things that are in your heart. Years ago, there's a young man laid by the fireside at night and dreamed. He dreamed he saw great tasks and great people. His name was Abraham Lincoln. He grew up and became the president of the greatest country in the world. He was made by what's in his heart. There's another man 100-something years ago had something in his heart, built an automobile. His name was Henry Ford. And he worked on it and worked on it, and his dream come true. And we have the automobile today. Every one of us are made by the things that are in our heart. The difference between your mind and your heart is this. You're sitting in school, and your teacher says, what's 2 plus 2? Say 4. What's 4 plus 4? 8. What's 8 plus 8? Shut up. That's your mind. That's your mind. Your heart is, man, I can't wait till I get out of here. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to do this. That's your heart. Your mind, teacher says, where's England? You said, over yonder somewhere, across the ocean. Your heart is saying, I'm 5 more minutes and I'm out of this joint and I'm going to do what I really want to do. That's the difference between your mind and your heart. That's why your heart needs to stay right. As a young person, especially this morning, there ought to be two or three things in your heart. First thing you need to have in your heart, you ought to have a song in your heart. You ought to have a song in your heart. Everybody ought to have a song in their heart. You can hear today what kind of song people are singing. It's sad. It really is. When I was in high school and junior high, ever since I was a little kid, there's always been a song in my heart. Always have had. I never remember a time in my life when I wasn't singing some kind of song. And sometimes it's a song that you don't even like. The songs that was popular when I was growing up gave me a yucky kind of feeling even before I got saved. I remember going around, and I remember hearing it was Rainy Days and Mondays Always Get Me Down. I don't know who sung that song. Some of those stupid Carpenters, I don't know who it was. That was the most depressing song. Rainy Days and Mondays Always Get Me. That's pitiful. And I thought, I don't want to feel bad when it's raining. I don't want to feel bad when it's Monday. And I remember old Rod Stewart singing Maggie May. And I remember him saying, "Oh, Maggie, I can't help crying over you. You made a first-class fool out of me, but I was blind as a fool can be." And I thought, Lord have mercy, what kind of, this ain't no fun. I remember thinking that before I got saved. And I remember having, there were some songs that I liked because they made you feel good. And then there's other songs. You know, think of the songs that people are hearing nowadays. I'm telling you what, it ain't no wonder we're in a mess. It's the song of an upper road. You know what David said? The Bible said, David said, "The Lord lifted me up out of a horrible pit and put a song in my heart." God will put the right kind of song in your heart if you'll live for Him and serve Him. I mean, it's a happy song. It ain't, you know, we're going to party like it's 1999. It ain't like the song now. You know why kids are in such trouble today? Listen to the music, the words of the song that they listen to. Let me give you a couple of them. Twisted Sister had a video out called "We're Not Going to Take It." And the whole song says, "We're not going to take it. Push your parents down the steps. Kill them. Break the house up. Tie everything up." That's by the song that was in their heart. The suicide that we've seen soar in the last few years. You want to hear some words? Ozzy Osbourne, his song, "Suicide Solution." And the song said, quote, "Make your bed. Rest your head. Get the gun. It's the only way out. Why don't you kill yourself?" That's a nice song for young people. Is that any wonder why? People say, "Why is teen suicide up in America?" It's the song that the kids are singing in their heart. You say, "A song can't make you kill yourself." No, it can't. But it can sure push you. A song can push you. A song can push you. I don't know what you're singing this morning. You may be singing, "It's the best of both worlds, Hannah Montana." I don't know. You might be singing, I don't know, I hear these kids singing that all the time, you know. "We're going to chill out and go slow and rock the show," or something like that. I don't know what she said. "She's not having the best of it. We're a little backflip thing. Daddy needs a spanker." Anyway, somebody needs to spank him, too. Anyway, these songs, brother, are bad shape. I heard Dolly Parton was going to. Anyway, these songs are pitiful. AC/DC has a song, "Shoot the Thrill." And it says, "Pull the trigger for a real thrill." Elton John, quote, "I'm getting bored being a part of mankind. Not a lot to do. This life's a waste of time. People rushing everywhere, swarming like flies. I think I'll buy myself a .44 and give them all a surprise. Think I'll try a little suicide." There's your song. I mean, it's easy to figure out where it comes from. Black Sabbath talks about kill yourself to live. Hopelessness, despair, nearly one per minute attempt suicide. There's enough teenagers commit suicide in America every year to wipe out four entire high schools the size of that one right over there. They're all wiped out because of suicide. You know why? They don't have the song in their heart. You need to have a song of the upper road. You need to have the song of trust, brother. No hope for the future? You need to have the song of trust. You need to have the song of satisfaction. Remember all the songs? "Can't get no satisfaction. Can't get no satisfaction." All those are songs of the world. One of the things that I noticed when I first got saved was the way the songs made me feel. I remember singing up at Nebo Baptist Church, and I'd get in the choir, and we'd start to sing, And let's sing, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." And I felt something bubble up in me that I never felt before I got saved. I'm telling you, you ought to have a song in your heart. You ought to have a song. Lord, you ain't supposed to go around saying, "There's a tear in my beer, and you know, and we're not going to make it, and think I'm going to go somewhere and cry myself to sleep." What do you want to sing about the junk like that for? I mean, I'll sing, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I'm with thee. Peace be still." It don't matter if it's raining, brother. You can get up and sing, "Thank God I'm free. I'm on the winning side." There ought to be a song in your heart this morning. You sing the right songs, it'll make you feel the right way. Y'all know me, man. I get latched on. I can go in a store and hear a song, and then 5 miles down the road, I don't even remember hearing it. I was paying for my gas, and I'm singing that song. I went around for days one time singing "Highway to Hell." And I'd be on my way to preach somewhere, man. I'm on the highway to hell. I don't know highway to hell. I'm going to heaven when I die. But that music, it gets stuck in your head. It gets stuck in your head. I can imagine, "Brother Danny, you got a song on your heart?" "Yeah, I sure do." "Well, who wants to hear that?" "That's a bunch of junk, brother. I want something happy. I want something that'll make me feel good. I want something that's not depressing. I want something that's the song of the upper road. I want something to sing that'll give me some hope, give me some future. Not, you know, we're down here in the hood and everybody hates us, and for me, I'll kill you. I mean, that's kill your mama music. You don't want to listen to that. You want the song of satisfaction. You want the song of happiness. You want the song of joy. You want the song that'll make you live for God. Amen? You need a song in your heart this morning. Number two, I want to say this morning. You need a dream in your heart. Everybody in here needs some kind of dream in your heart. I've always been a big dreamer, and I know you know that. And sometimes the dreams don't come true, but buddy, when they do, it sure is a blessing. Whoever made the Empire State Building was a smart fella that sure had a dream. You've never seen the Empire State Building. A bunch of y'all went up there in New York with us when we used to go up there. I remember we had Corey's birthday party on top of the Empire State Building. And that thing is a whopper, let me tell you. I don't know how they built that back in 1920s or whatever when it was. It's been a long time. I'm telling you, brother, that thing, whoever sat down and had a dream of that thing, had a dream in their heart. I remember before we started this church, I drove up and down this street. And one day, I was riding up this street right here, and I looked up and I saw that sign there. And it said, "For lease, 438-0042. That number just stuck in my head. And I went home, and I said, "Lord, would that be your will?" And I remember thinking, God, hit it, and God put a dream in my heart. You'll never get nothing done without a dream in your heart. Think about something. I mean, dream big. Don't cost you nothing. Maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't. But you need a dream in your heart. You need a dream. I remember when I was a little kid, I remember thinking, I'm going to do something one of these days when I grow up, and I'm going to get the whole world's attention, and I'm going to change the world. I remember thinking that when I was little. I mean, I was about 5 or 6 years old. I remember thinking, I'm going to do something. I had no idea I was going to be a preacher. I had no idea I was going to get saved and travel around all over the world and get to preach. I had no clue in this world. I didn't like making public speeches. I didn't like speech class. I hated it. But I'm telling you, God, I had a dream in my heart when I was 5 or 6 years old. Didn't even know what it meant. And then after I got saved, dreams started coming. I'll never forget going to camp meeting up there at Nebo. And I remember Ed McAbee getting up there, and he'd start preaching like this. Son, he'd throw his hand down. It looked like his finger was that long. I mean, I felt like I was the only person in there. And he was just putting his finger right on my heart. You ever felt like that? I mean, it felt like he's just going bam, bam, bam. And right there, I remember sitting in that seat, and I said, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. I want to have that effect on people. I want God to use me. I think the greatest thing in the world is for God to use somebody. I don't think you can do anything greater in this world than to let God use you. I'm glad I had a dream in my heart. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I still got one in my heart. I can see people getting saved in that new building. I can see the parking lot paved and full and the whole place full and people in the altar right now in my head. Right now. You said, Brother Danny, it might not happen. Might not. But it'll never happen if somebody don't have a dream. I remember going over there sitting in the woods, and I went up there in the woods, and I prayed. Satan, I sat there in the woods like that, looked down on that land, I said, dear God, if you could give us this, Lord, we'd try to do something with it. I'm telling you, you've got to have a dream. Young people, don't just float through life. Dream big, brother. Dream big. Say, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to do something for God. And then put your head to the grinder and get down and pray and get in your Bible, and God will let you have your dream many times. Amen. I'm telling you, you should have a dream in your heart. You ought to have a dream about your career, God's will for your life. Want to be so? You say, well, I'm not setting my goals too high. Well, I'd rather shoot at the moon and miss it than shoot at a skunk and hit it. Really? I'm telling you. Amen. I'd rather miss one than to shoot so low it didn't hit nothing. You shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You shoot at something, you might hit it, you might not. You need to have a dream for your career. You need to have a dream for your life's companion. All of you young people that are not married, get you a dream in your head. Don't settle for the first bum that comes down the road just because you're scared nobody's ever going to have you and you're already 17. The girl said, I'm 18, I don't have a boyfriend. What am I going to do? Just chill out, sister. You got plenty of time. Plenty of time. And don't drag someone. I've seen them come in, boy, and come dragging in something beside them. You girls, you don't even have to have a boyfriend. I mean, you'll be all right without one for a while. No big deal. Well, you think, well, I just got to have somebody. You'll wish, he'll be like Ajax, can't wash him off here in a few years, and you'll wish you'd get rid of him. But I'm telling you this morning, have a dream in your heart. Say, this is the kind of person I want to marry, and by the grace of God, I will not settle for nothing less. Amen? He said, I'm afraid of being an old maid. I'd rather be an old maid than to wish I was. I'd rather be single and look for a man all day than get married and look for him all night. Amen? A lot of them doing that this morning. Have a dream about your life companion. Somewhere God has the right one for you. Make up your mind, brother, that you're going to set the standard and you're going to wait. I heard about that guy. He said, he's up with his girlfriend. He said, now listen. He said, when I'm with you, the dark and dreary clouds roll back. The rain stops. The rainbow is shining through. She said, are you a weatherman or are you proposing? They're in such a hurry. They're in such a hurry. You ought to have a dream in your heart. Have a dream in your heart. Have a dream in your heart. Dream about something where you want to live and have a house and a home. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm just going here and I'll go here tomorrow and go there the next day and go here. Get something in your head and say, God, this is what I want. God, pray. I'll pray for it. God, I want a house. I want a family. I want a husband. I want a kid. And by the grace of God, fulfill your dream. You ought to have a dream in your heart. You ought to have a dream in your heart. Amen? You can have a house and never have a home. You know the richest people in here are the ones that have a happy home. I didn't say house. It don't matter what kind of house you live in. If you're happy in your home, man, me, well, up there in my house, me and Krista, we got peace in our home. We don't fuss. We don't fight. We don't argue. Every once in a while, she's wrong, I straighten her out, and we just keep going. Amen. No kidding. We have a good time. I'm glad that I got peace in my house this morning. I would hate to live in our house. I would hate to live in a home where it was just fussing and arguing and that up this and hollering and screaming, people throwing things. One of my sisters and her husband used to fight like cats and dogs. Sandy, my sister that died with cancer. And buddy, I tell you, her husband used to fight when they was young. I mean, they'd throw things. She went out and she fixed something. They got in fighting food one time. They threw the plate up against the wall and busted it. I mean, some of you rednecks in here this morning, you've done the same thing. And she went out and busted his windshield in his truck with a baseball bat. So he was going to go get the shotgun and shoot her. And before he could get the shotgun and shoot her, she went and opened up a jar of molasses and poured it down in his shotgun. I'm telling you, molasses will mess a shotgun up, let me tell you. You ain't going to do nothing with it when the light's in. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, Lord, have mercy, man. You know what? That's crazy. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. Listen, there's people. Look at the house Britney Spears has got. Would anybody want her life right now? He said, I'd love to be. I would.
I don't care what good you're going to do or got $100 million in the bank. If you can't even walk down the street, can't drive a car, can't enjoy life, locked up in the nut house somewhere, I'm telling you, have a dream in your heart for a happy home. All you people that are married, say, get down and pray and say, by God's grace, we're gonna pray together, we're going to overlook each other's our faults, and we're going to have a home. Have a dream in your heart. This is Valentine's Week. We're talking about our heart. Have a song in your heart. Have a dream in your heart. Thirdly this morning, and I'll be through, this is the last one. You ought to have a name in your heart. You ought to have a name in your heart. It's the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. And I'm going to read you that song in just a moment. It's the name of Jesus. It'll make your song sweeter and your dreams brighter. Take that name as a buffer against temptation. You know what? There's a million temptations out there, kids. There's going to be people trying to get you to do all kinds of crazy things. They're going to try to get you to take drugs. They're going to try to get you to drink alcohol. They're going to try to get you to go places you have no business going. It's going to happen. You know what you need to do? Take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you for temptation. You can't resist temptation by yourself. It's got to be the name of Jesus. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. When the devil comes with temptation, say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. That's the name. I mean, I love great preachers. I love listening to Dr. Jack Kyle's, all them guys. But listen, when the devil comes around to me, I don't say, Brother Jack, help me. I don't say, Brother so-and-so, help me. It's Jesus, help me. He's the name that I've got in my heart this morning. Thank God this morning I'm glad that you can have that name as a buffer against temptation. Like what that little girl said. She said, they asked her, they said, you got the door locked so the devil can't get in? And she said, yeah, I've got it locked. And she said, what if the devil comes knocking? She said, if the devil comes knocking at my door, I go look in the keyhole, and if I see the devil, I tell Jesus to answer it. And that's what you got to learn how to do. That's what you got to learn how to do. You got to say, Jesus, you answer the door. That's right, right, kid? Look at how good they're being this morning. Everyone of them's listening to me. They're learning, ain't you? You're learning. Y'all are smart. Lord, forgive me. They're trying. They're trying. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you, brother. That's the way to resist temptation. You can't resist the devil by yourself. You ain't strong enough. You ain't strong enough. You say, boy, I'm going out of church. Glory to God, I ain't never going to sin again. Yeah, right, buddy. You get out there in the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong people, with the wrong atmosphere, you'll do whatever the devil puts in front of you. I guarantee you, son, he'll turn you every way but loose. He'll mess up your life in 5 minutes more than you can ever get out of. Look at these people getting in trouble and they're in jail for murder and everything else. Man, one time done what the devil wanted them to do. Take the name of Jesus with you, brother, in temptation, for a buffer against that temptation. Take the name of Jesus with you. And then I want you to remember this. Take the name of Jesus with you as a guide on life's highway to make the right decision. You know, that old book said, what would Jesus do? That's a good thought. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That's a good way to make decisions. What would Jesus do? But I don't like, what would Jesus do if he's here? He's here. You just say, what Jesus want me to do? As a guide on life's highway. As a haven in life's storms. Ladies and gentlemen, there are going to come storms in your life. There's going to come times when you don't know what to do. There's going to come time when everybody here is over at that hospital or somewhere at a hospital, and you're going to see your mother or your dad or your sister or your brother, and they're going to be in that room, one of them rooms, and the doctor's going to say, I don't know if they're going to make it or not. There's going to come a time when only the Lord can help you. There's going to come a time when nobody else can help you. There's going to come a time when Jesus, if you don't help me, I'm a goner. Take the name of Jesus with you as a haven in life's storms. Back here a few weeks ago, my mother was at the point of death. We thought within hours. I'm going to tell you, brother, y'all listen to me this morning. I'm going to tell you, brethren and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, what a blessing it was that I could stand over the bed of my mother at the point of death, dearly, and I could hold her hand, and I could say, dear Jesus. Buddy, that's when it pays off. That's when it pays off. That's when living for God pays off. It's when you're in that hospital, See, some of you, when you get to the hospital, you're going to have to call on P. Diddy or somebody. That's who you talk about all the time. That's who you want to be around all the time. That's who you want to be like. You're going to have to call on the people on American Idol because that's the only ones you think about. You spend more time on them than you do Jesus, so you're going to have to call on them when you get in trouble. But I'm telling you, when you're in trouble and you're in that hospital, and then they got them tubes hooked up to your sister or your mom or your dad, what a joy it is to bow your head and say, "Dear Jesus, dear Jesus." And that's going to happen for everybody in here. Mark it down. Mark it down. As a haven in life's storms. There's disappointing times coming. We don't like to think about it, but every person in this room is going to get your heart broke. Majorly. Sooner or later. It's going to be your family. Or it's going to be your health. Or it's going to be your job. It's going to be something. Man's born in trouble, the sparks fly upward. Nobody gets through. If you meet a man that's over 35 that ain't never had no trouble, introduce him to him. I like to shake his hand. There ain't no such thing. And you young people just think, man, we're going to grow up, we're going to have fun, we're going to party, we're going to live it up, I'm going to buy me a nice car. It ain't going to work like that. You're going to get your heart broke. You're going to get your heart tore out more than once. More than once. Take the name of Jesus with you as a goal in life's endeavors. And finally, as security for the time when you die. Take the name of Jesus with you. Old song is in the song book here. And that song talks about the name of Jesus. And it says, take the name of Jesus with you, child of weakness and of woe. He will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go. The old song says, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my ever longing, keeps me singing. How's that go? Longer I live, the more I pastor, the more I travel, the more people I meet, shows me that the one thing that stays constant, churches change, people change, everything changes, lives change, communities change, but the one thing that stays the same year after year after year is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and He's there for you to call on this morning. He'll help you with what you're going through. He's the answer to your problem right now. If you got a burden this morning, you want to blame everybody else, He's the answer. You want to blame somebody, blame the stinking devil. He's the one that got you in trouble. Put it on the altar this morning and say, take the name of Jesus with me, and turn it over to Him this morning. You know something? I heard about this little girl. It was Valentine's Day. And they was at the table, supper table. And at the supper table, her daddy looked at her and she was crying. And he said, "Honey, what's wrong with you?" She said, "I don't want to talk about it." And she said, "What's wrong, honey?" She said, "I don't want to talk about it." And finally she said, "Well, Daddy, I got you a Valentine." And she said, "I got you a Valentine, and I can't give it to you. It's all messed up." And he said, "Why?" "Well," she said, "I messed it up." He said, "Go get it for me." She said, "No, I messed it up." And she had blood on her finger. She had went and made her daddy a Valentine, and she cut it out with a, you know, like a heart, like that, and cut her finger and got blood on it and everything. And so she just crammed it up under the bed. She said, "I can't give it to him. It looks awful." He said, "Go get it." And that little girl went in there. She brought it to him. She said, "It's got blood all over it. It's all wrinkled up. It ain't no good." He said, "Here, Daddy." And he said, "That means everything to me. I want it just like it is." You know, folks, that's the way God wants your heart this morning. That's what God... There's people sitting in here this morning, and you're thinking, "God, my heart's in such a mess. God don't want it. I'm ashamed of it." No, He wants you to bring it to Him just like it is. And He'll help you. I read about this morning that when they had the destruction of that city, Pompeii, a volcano destroyed that city. And one of the stories in that city was, it was one of the most major tragedies in history. And there was four prisoners in a prison. When that volcano started, they unlocked the jail so everybody could get out and save everybody. And there was four prisoners in there who had their feet in stocks. And it got so bad, and the flames started coming down, and that hot lava was running down them mountains, and hot stones, and it started to come in there and burn them prisoners' feet. And they were in there screaming,
And they said them guys were screaming in agony and pain. And they said, get us out. And it started raining down fire on that prison. And everybody else was gone. And they was in there screaming. And they said the key was just across the threshold, and they couldn't reach it. Right there was that key. That close, they could have got that key and got out, but they couldn't reach it. And ladies and gentlemen, they said them guys screamed and tore their flesh, and as the fumes and the dark smoke come in, and it finally ended in just a little bit, and everything got quiet. They died with the key just beyond their reach. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's going to be there for you when you die. He's the only one that you can call on when it comes time for you to die. And you hear me, and you hear me well this morning. When it comes time for me to die, there's only going to be one name that I'm going to have in my heart, and that's Him. If I had to die this morning, I wouldn't say, Lord, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching once. That don't impress God one bit. I wouldn't say, Lord, I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible. I help give money. That don't impress God one bit. You know what I'm going to say to the Lord? Lord, I've got Jesus in my heart. And that's it. That's it. That's going to fix me up for all eternity. You know what's going to fix me up for eternity? What's in my heart. It ain't what's up here. You can study and be a genius. That's not what God's interested in your mind. He's interested in your heart. The world's talking about wants your mind. The Lord wants your heart. Let's stand by His for prayer.